Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kentucky Ag Matters, a podcast designed to inform and educate both producers and consumers about all matters affecting agriculture. On this week's show, David, Jay, and Vicki will visit with Dr. Sam McNeil, Extension Professor with the University of Kentucky. This week, we will discuss grain handling and storage, and as always, we will wrap things up with this week's timely tip. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy the show. Well, hello, everybody.
Hey, Jay.
Morning.
How's everybody doing today?
I'm kicking.
I was going to say, you're going to follow that up. That's what my granddad would say sometimes. Yeah. I'm kicking, just not kicking very high.
Yeah. Well, kicking's a good thing, especially Absolutely. This time of the year.
Sure.
So, Vicki, how's things in your part of the world?
I can't complain. Everything's moving right along. I suppose it's been foggy the last few mornings, a thick fog, actually.
Still getting rain?
Well, we're getting little drizzles, yeah.
I can't imagine.
I know. We got some rain last night. I think we're supposed to get some tomorrow. I don't know how that'll fall out, but we... Yep. But it's been just a kind of a day, just a dreary look for the last three or four days.
We'll take it, though.
That's right. It's
been
a
perennial part of our conversations this year that Vicki's getting rain.
Okay.
When nobody else is, Vicki's getting rain. And that's what they call that, Eden?
That's what y'all called it.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
That's what y'all called it.
It certainly looked that way through the summer. And
how was the apple crop up there this year?
Oh, man, that was a good
that
one.
That is.
So. Now, we talk about that quite a bit because throughout the year they've had kindly some of the rains that none of the rest of us were seeing. And the fact that we're all starting to get a little bit of rain now is a good thing. I think about these drizzly days and these foggy mornings and nights we've been having and think about those few people that are still raising tobacco and how not long ago they would have been very welcoming of some of these seasons, as we call them, to help get this crop cured out and in order so they could get it stripped. I think a lot of that natural moisture would have been very handy for a lot of folks.
Stripped Absolutely. A lot of tobacco over Thanksgiving in
yes,
my
sir.
Lifetime. So,
yes, sir.
Yep. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Look at that weather and see how much you can book down and get covered up before it dries out again.
I never stripped any dark, but I stripped some early in my day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Sam McNeil's with us today. He's our guest of the week. Sam's an extension professor with the University of Kentucky, and he's worked with all of us throughout our careers as an extension specialist and primarily in engineering and even furthermore primarily in grain handling and storage, and that's one of the things we're going to talk a lot about today. So, Sam, glad to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much. Glad to be on the show today.
It's a welcome thing for us to have such a vast crop of specialists to sit down with, and you're certainly one of those.
Well, I appreciate that.
As I was thinking back last night, I don't know that what maybe you weren't one of the very first specialists that I ever had when I was the ag agent in Callaway County come down and do a meeting.
In our teens?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
We won't say the year then.
That's right. It's been a few years ago.
Been
so
a minute.
Not quite 30, but still a few years ago. So glad to have you here and glad for all the work you've helped us with.
Well, thank
the
you.
Years, so.
Glad to be here.
We're going to talk a lot today about grain handling and storage, and you know that means a lot to a lot of different people. David and I were kind of having a conversation this morning. I've, in the past year, made a transfer to a different county. I'm working in Hopkins County now. Spent the bulk of my career in Christian County. And I've said to David and Vicki both several times that the biggest difference that I saw immediately coming to Hopkins County was the lesser amount, but the lack of on-farm storage in Hopkins County as compared to Christian County. So I think that's one of those regional things that we see different places. But, you know, throughout your career, how much have you seen that on-farm storage situation change?
Well, it's really changed. I think when I started, it may have been 150 million bushels statewide, and now we're close to 300 million. We have really expanded our on-farm storage, and it's kind of interesting, like you say, county to county, it's different, and not just regional. Certainly, there's a kind of a dearth of storage up in the central part of the state, and I see it expanding in that direction. And in this part of the world, we're seeing larger bins put up. Some farms look as big as elevators used to, you know, when
Absolutely.
I started.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot to manage there. you got literally a lot of eggs in one basket, those big bins, mm-hmm. you know, 100,000 plus.
Sure.
And whereas before, it might have been 10,000 or maybe 30 or maybe 50.
Yeah, and you can you spread that risk out, you know, when you're talking about grain bins, you know, you got three or four 30,000 bushel bins and you got 100,000 bushel bins, you know, that managing that grain is so important.
Well, it really is. We have a lot of investment represented there for sure, especially with these higher grain prices. It just puts it on the forefront of everybody's mind. I think there's a lot of, obviously, there's a lot of energy and effort going on into the production side. After harvest, you don't want to let that fall off. You want to keep mm-hmm. keep on it till it's delivered successfully across yeah. the scale of the elevator.
Till it's gone. Till it's gone.
Or feed mill yeah. or wherever yeah. you're taking it, yeah. distillery, you know, all those outlets, they're demanding high quality grain,
yep.
and we can deliver it. But we need, you know, it doesn't go, you can't overlook the details on paying attention to it.
Well, you know, that's one of the things when I think about any type of grain storage system is quality in, hopefully quality out.
Right.
We cannot depend upon any type of grain storage system to improve that quality
exactly.
while it's in there. And so our real goal is to try to maintain it
right.
while it's in there.
Exactly. I always talk about that. It was the first point made to my audience is that, you know, you're never going to improve it. The best you can hope for is to maintain the quality. If you, you know, ideally if you're going to store it for a long time, you probably ought to clean it before it goes into especially a large bin because you have a lot of fines that can accumulate in there. And in a bigger bin, you could have bigger hot spots that, you know, if they go unnoticed, they can really grow into a large mass. I've seen small bins where that's been a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen problems where they did not know that the aeration system wasn't working correctly, and they didn't, mm-hmm. you know, they were had. I mean, there's one case early in my career, back to those days.
In your teens?
Yeah, well, more like early 30s. But, yeah, to be honest, I went to a farm where they had two bins side by side, both 50,000 bushel. These were good size. And he had hogs on the farm. He had an outlet for grain that was lesser quality so he mm-hmm. could blend it. But one bin was in good condition. The second one was not. And when he had to get the bin unloaded totally before he ever figured out, what happened was there was some rodent activity in the ducts, the aeration ducts. It was not a full floor, but a subfloor aeration in the aeration ducts in the floor. And they had collapsed on one bin.
Mm-hmm.
And so they weren't getting the proper airflow and it wasn't getting cooled out. And moisture was accumulating, wasn't being controlled. It went out of condition. And like I say, it was at that time it was white corn valued at $5, so you know it was a lot to be invested
yep.
there. And one of those things like that can really slip up on you. You know, mm-hmm. if you don't have temperature tables in the bin to know if there's a hot spot developing, or mm-hmm. if you don't have. More recently, we're seeing interest in carbon dioxide monitors. I mean, that can tell you a lot, even before. Temperature cable might pick up a hot spot.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an elevated level of CO2, you would have to, you know, obviously be in the bin. Or if you have the ability to reverse the fans, you can monitor the air quality as it's coming off and check the temperature that way a little bit, but also check the CO2 content. If it starts to elevate, check it once a week. If it's elevating, then you know you've got a problem. You need to do something.
Yeah, if you've never cleaned out a bin that has had problems, this is something you hardly ever forget. Number one, the smell is mm-hmm. is just awful. But you know, the big clumps and the different things you've got to scoop out, you can't run it through the leg.
They won't go through the system.
Yeah, they won't go through the system. And the other thing is, you mix when you try to run it through the system, you're mixing that bad grain with the good grain
right.
that is left in the bin, and that kind of makes a mess too. So you never kind of forget those things, Sam,
yeah.
when you see them and they
yeah,
happen.
I've been
to
around.
For sure.
That's right, and done some of that myself. And
yep.
It is. It leaves an impression, leaves a memory.
Yeah, the one I keep coming back to is I never want to do this again.
That's right.
You know,
if
that's
you
the one I keep
to.
Coming back
yeah.
to.
Sam, you're talking about the difference in the amount of on-farm storage in different parts of the state and whatnot. Where we've seen concentrations through the years of on-farm storage and where we've seen them grown, Is there any factors that, that you can draw together that help to kind of show, you know, this is why this has happened or this is where this has happened?
No, it's been kind of a puzzle, but I think mostly it's the biggest motivation I hear is we want to keep the combines running. Mm-hmm. We don't want to wait in line at the elevator, and that's been the biggest motivation. I mean, that's one. Sure. And certainly that gives you more control of the harvest operation if you have on-farm storage. May need some drying along with that as well. Not everybody has that. That's if you see how it has grown over the years, the operations that have been successful have pretty much a full complement of ability to dry and store grain on the farm. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, it's been that kind of a model has been what I've seen.
David and I were talking a little bit briefly before we sat down today, and we were talking about differences in different counties. And to me, I think about hauling grain and the distance that some of these folks have to go to wherever their terminal is going to be, and whether or not that's a processor or not. It might just be an elevator middleman. But I've always tended to think that the farther away from that terminal point you are, the more storage should be prevalent.
I believe that's right, and especially with $5 diesel and, you know, hauling costs being what they are.
You know, but quite to that contrary, when I look at, like, Christian County, where I was for years, where we had a lot of on-farm storage, it seemed like that over the years there were a few operations that are still continuing to add to that storage as they add to their growth, and they're very, very close to processors. Mm-hmm. So it has turned into more, for those guys, more of a harvest aid. And the difference there, as David and I were talking, a lot of those producers – even though they work a lot of rented ground, it's fairly close to them. They're mm-hmm. not spread out as many counties. And so, therefore, it's easier to have those trucks on the road and getting back and forth to a central location.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I think it's, again, when you look at central Kentucky where there's, again, not much storage, they've had increased yields like everyone else. You know, yields are really coming up, and it's putting pressure on everything, on combines to get the grain in quicker. Have a place to put it on the farm, or if you wait in line at the elevator at the harvest time. So,
you know, I'll add to that some of these bigger operations that I got to work with a lot, and you worked with a lot of them too. One of the things that I think they carried as a consistency throughout the year, whether it was planting, harvesting, storage, whatever, is the ability to turn something around pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like there was a lot of value there. I think it might be maybe a graduate student's research project some year is to just assign a value to that to storage as a harvest aid.
Mm-hmm.
Always wondered what that was worth. But talking a little bit about storage and how it's changed through the years, what are some of the things in particular on the farm that you have seen other than just the amount of storage? Talked a little bit about drying and cleaning abilities.
I think looking at all the complement of equipment that's out there, storage is probably the first thing people would go to because of the reasons we mentioned, and not just for harvesting, but also for marketing. You don't have to hold it, you know, in the farm to take advantage of marketing swings, price swings in the market. But it's still a fairly common method.
Sure,
to take advantage.
I think back to some of my earliest days in extension when grain marketing specialists, for instance, would talk about on-farm storage, primarily the reason to have it was so you could forward price and be able to hold on to it until maybe a better price came along. Then we got the you know, end of the days of contract delivery dates and things like that allowed folks to go even further as well.
Yeah. And that puts a pressure on your management of this.
That's exactly what I was fixing to say, yeah. Sam, is you know, what are some things that, as we put grain in bins, what are some things that we need to pay attention to, or, you know, in the weeks to come after we put the grain in there, what are some things that we really should be paying attention to?
Well, first, let's start up with before it goes in.
Sure.
You know, you certainly want to do a good job cleaning up the removing old grain, mm-hmm. Selling it almost regardless of the condition.
Yep.
Go ahead or feeding it if you have that option.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe blending it. But just move it out and mm-hmm. and start with a clean bin You don't want to put new crop on top of old crop. That's right. Most folks understand that and don't do that anyway. But that is a point. We want to be sure and mention that. Beyond that, it's a matter of putting it in at the right moisture. Because I have heard stories where, you know, you have a batch or maybe one particular load or field where it's a little higher moisture, particularly for soybeans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not going to run them through the dryer typically, but there may be a reason to do that if you have a dryer. But you don't want to put a layer of high moisture soybeans in with dry beans because it will not equilibrate. It's mm-hmm. without mixing, and which most folks don't have stirrators in their bins
right.
these days anyway. But, I mean, there are some things you can do there, but you don't want to do that. You don't want to put a layer of wet grain of any type, you know, corn or soybeans, mm-hmm. either one, because that can lead to big problems, especially in a big bin.
Yeah, hence my experience with the bad grain.
Yeah, no, I've heard stories of that, because you're running along, you know, and this year particularly. Now, I don't think there were too many wet grains that went in the storage this year, but in the past, I've heard of stories where, you know, you run along as beans are 13-14%, they're fine, they run along, and you get a load that's coming in and you're halfway into the harvest. We get mm-hmm. a rain event or something that
go around the edge of a field
mm-hmm.
That has a lot of woods around it,
mm-hmm.
I think was where we got into our issue, and we actually – at that time, the place I was working, we actually ended up drying beans because they were so wet.
Yeah.
And I think you've got to watch that and monitor that when you're coming in. And if you're in the field and you've got somebody back at the bins that's just unloading grain, they're probably not paying a lot of attention
that.
So you need to pay attention to that
communicate.
For sure. Yep, absolutely.
Exactly right. But fortunately nowadays, we can do that fairly easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, more sophisticated communication tools and mm-hmm. moisture measuring tools. But I think that's an important point. And then have the ability, you know, even late in the season, because a lot of times what will happen is, especially in late in the season with soybeans, your bins are full, your dryer hasn't been operated for a couple of weeks maybe. If you want to fire that up and run just a batch or two through that, well, you're probably better off doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Go ahead and more or less bite the bullet, or worst case, go ahead and haul them in and take your moisture dock, because you don't want to store anything if they'll take them. And that's the other
right.
problem. That's the other problem on that side. And then so then it becomes a real advantage to having that flexibility on the farm where you can dry late in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And
typically don't think about drying soybeans, but
exactly.
it does. We do have times that we probably need to be doing that. Some folks don't do it, but then again, you run into the problems that
mm-hmm.
cleaning out the bin that I ran into.
Yeah, and
got to be involved with, I guess is the better word, better use of words, got to be involved with.
Yeah, but if you could have a small bin that's,
yeah.
you know, that's just held aside and more or less dedicated for that kind of a purpose.
Absolutely.
And, you know, dry them if you have to, but always a good place to put them in. You know, there's an economic decision that comes with that as well, because you may not need it. You're going to be able to build a large bin with less, you know, per
mm-hmm.
bushel
mm-hmm.
cost, a lot less. But
it's good to have that flexibility to be able to do that.
I think it is.
Sure.
Yep. And it's something a lot of folks, I haven't seen it done, but it's certainly possible.
Yep.
Something to keep in mind.
We're talking about the bin systems and deciding what you need. So if somebody's listening that maybe doesn't have grain stores, because there's still producers around that don't have on-farm storage. We all have those producers, lots of them. And, you know, if they're going back and forth and about, you know, putting grain storage in, but they've made up their mind they're going to do it. I mean, start at the ground level. And what are the things that producers need to be thinking about when they start looking to add on-farm storage as far as, you know, what size bins do I need?
Mm-hmm.
What are just everything, you know, just from the ground level up, if you're thinking about it, what are the things that they need to have on that list that they need to be checking and looking into?
Well, I think you want to be able to plan it, design it so that you can expand. That's the first thing we talk about. And And the rule has been that if you build what you need, immediate needs, satisfy those. Maybe it's not all the crops, certainly, but it's to help you get through the crush of harvest, have a place to put the grain, then you can haul it in later. Keeping in good condition, of course, that we talked about, but have a starting point with what you're comfortable with, what you can afford, but then allow space to double that, so you're going to double it, and then double it again. So you don't want a spot next to a tobacco barn. Now, mm-hmm. We've all seen that, and you just kind of run out of room, mm-hmm. Just some ground features that that can be a problem, a hillside or a drainage way or some mm-hmm. of those kinds of things. Siding is really critical when you, mm-hmm. I think, because you want to look at traffic flow, you want to look at safety, getting on and off the road, you want to look at a lot of things. And some of these points are covered. I guess mm-hmm. I could do a plug here, but mm-hmm. we revamped the Midwest Plant Service Handbook on Grain Handling, Drying, and Storage 2017. Mm-hmm. And it's got a lot of good tips on different layout options, some of the considerations just on the physical side. It does not cover economics, but, you definitely, mm-hmm. That's the first thing people want to talk about. Well, I can't afford, a big bin. I'm going to put up something smaller. That's fine, mm-hmm. It's going to give you some flexibility and help you through your harvest period. So one thing is to look at siting, not just, many things we talked about already, but also utilities. Mm-hmm. Some, they don't want to put it maybe a half mile down the road because maybe it's not as secure, or maybe it's got three phase. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of options need to be considered when you're siting your facility. And talk to people that have been in, I know farmer to farmer, they can learn a lot from mistakes that other farmers have made when they were laying out their system or building their system. There's one farmer I know in particular is a big fan of elevating the floor well above the minimal because you're out of the mud. Mm. And, it's more concrete.
Yeah.
But he talked his neighbor into going that extra mm-hmm. step. How many times have you been around grain bins where they had to dig out the hole at the unloading auger, and then it gets wet, of course, and then accumulates, and you get grain down in there, and then you have a mess.
Yeah,
you get down in the pit. It's a small mess.
You get down in the pit and get all that out.
Yeah. So and if you're putting in a leg, then look at drainage way away mm-hmm. from the pit area.
Absolutely.
Or building it above, or at ground level rather, and then having a high speed auger to feed the leg. Those kinds of things go into siting, so it's mm-hmm. not just road access and utilities, but also
topography, so to speak.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how is the drainage away from the facility?
Yeah.
Those kinds of things, it's where I would start.
Mm-hmm. And that is definitely something you don't want to figure out after you've built this, that you forgot to think about drainage. That's something you don't want to find out after you've finished and figured out at a bad time.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We always, doing this show, I've always said it gives us ideas for either other shows or things we could be working on. And I think maybe at some of our meetings sometime or another, maybe a panel of producers who have had great success with on-farm storage, mm-hmm. serving as a question Q&A type deal for producers, because that is a good thought.
Well, I believe there's a wealth of resources there. And they speak more loudly. Their opinion would be way mm-hmm. a whole lot more than what I've seen in my in working with other folks. But I think one to one, and also it just allows you to speak a little more freely and mm-hmm. Honestly and frankly about one and more willing to admit mm-hmm. maybe I did make a mistake on this mm-hmm. where I put that one bin, or we're doing the one week or so mm-hmm. that the other thing I would suggest is that more folks consider putting in installing monitoring equipment. We've had temperature cables around ever since I started, mm-hmm. and we still don't have many on farm bins. We have more than we used to, and they're getting more sophisticated. You can track temperatures on your cell phone, mm-hmm. If you don't have to be on the farm mm-hmm. Wherever.
Which would make it more attractive, I would think. Mm-hmm. When you can, Absolutely. With the advances in technology, to be able to check those kinds of things without getting out in the cold or the rain or whatever the weather happens to be that day, you know.
Well, in this day and age, producers have to wear so many hats at the same time, and it would give a producer the ability to be working with a grain marketer and at the same time monitoring the air quality of that crop, the temperature of that crop. So a lot of things that could be a plus there.
Oh, absolutely. And going back to what Sam had talked about thinking about things and how to set up your bins, there was a producer that had a set of grain bins there at his operation, and his dark fire tobacco barns were close to it. Well, one of the things you don't think about is the bees' wings when you're drying corn got all over the tobacco, and that was an issue.
So for the tobacco, you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so you have to think about all that kind of stuff when you're putting all your operation in the same little spot.
That's right.
You know, you want to kind of give some forethought, and I would have never thought about that, and, you know, that's something that you probably would have never thought about to begin with, but it actually did cause a problem. So you got to think about that kind of stuff.
And being creative, I guess, in some ways, just having to think outside of the box, because, you know, you're only going to have a set amount of sites that may be available to you to build structure on. And so you're limited, you know, oftentimes you could be limited from the get-go on where it can go. And then, so on top of that, you're going to have to be kind of think outside the box on how do we manage this potential issue and still be able to have the grain storage we need at this site.
And one thing, I guess, from my experience working in with grain bins and different things, you need to, if you're just starting from scratch and planning some stuff, make everything where you can work on it because you're going to have to work on it. That's just the way it is. And if it's easily accessible above ground and, you know, that whole pit thing, working on something down in a pit is not the best fun, especially when it's full of corn or something of this nature. You have to bucket all of that out. So think about that before you go in to put a system in, is to be, that you're going to have to work on this eventually. So if you put concrete all around something, an auger or something like that, at some point you're going to take it out more likely or pull the auger or the drag chain or whatever you're using, you know. So that you really need to think about this. A lot of thought needs to be put into that, Sam, for sure.
No, that's what I've always been talking about with folks. When I
preaching
do
to the choir, them. Right?
Yeah, no, you got some good points.
Well, and I'm going to add another layer to all this from a management perspective when we think about this new person getting into storage, like Vicki was referring to, is – all the other resources that you're going to have or should have to support that storage on the farm. If you're going from a situation where you only combining enough grain at the time till you fill the combine and the truck up till you can get it hauled off, if you're going from there to on-farm storage, it's going to mean the addition of more trucks, more help to run those trucks, possibly somebody who's going to sit in the combine all the time now rather than just running it till they fill the truck up and run the truck to the elevator. So there's a lot of levels of management that go along with this outside of just the grain system itself.
Yeah, I was riding with one farmer one time just to kind of check yields at the beginning of harvest, and it looked like Command Central. He was talking to the guy on the cart. He was talking with the guy on the other combine. He was talking with a guy at the facility, and he was trying to coordinate all those activities from one. And I mean, he was definitely multitasking.
And multiple trucks. Exactly. You've got multiple grain trucks often, you know, getting those in and out. And
he didn't have two cell phones going, did he?
Not at that time.
I've known some folks like that.
Yeah.
That's another conversation. But.
And two, when we think about grain storage, we certainly don't want to forget safety.
Absolutely.
Because that is something that sometimes we really don't think about in the beginning stages when we're building it, and sometimes we don't think about it when we're climbing up in to check grain and things of that nature. And so, you know, grain safety and having that equipment and knowing how to keep yourself or your staff or your employees, your family often are the ones that's, you know, helping you on the farm and keeping all them safe is something that needs to be at the top of that list too, because we certainly hear of horrible farming accidents related to grain storage that you just don't want that to happen to you on your farm. And so,
Exactly.
I know you can expand on that too, Sam.
Well, I just want to connect the points with condition and grain condition and safety, because a lot of times going in to check the grain is one thing, and you can work around the edge, you can probe down below the surface and see if there's a moisture buildup. We talked a little bit about, before the show, we talked a little bit about all these variable conditions that we've had this year, from a kind of a warm and dry fall to all of a sudden we got a lot of moisture. And if we're trying to cool that grain, in which we need to do, but when we haven't had the opportunity till recently, well then, you know, if the grain bin roof is colder than the dew point temperature, then we're going to get a lot of condensation there. We're going to get some drip back. So it's important to check that for one thing. But you got to do that carefully. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, then you could run into a problem with clumping or mm-hmm. some hot spots developing, and then you've got a more serious problem with a flow problem. It won't come out of the, as it should. Mm-hmm. So you got to weigh those activities, keeping safety in mind the whole time. But I think the conditioning part definitely is connected to safety.
Mm-hmm. Like, and there's a wealth of information out there if someone wants to look for that on the grain safety equipment that you need to have to be able to do different things on the farm and different things with grain storage and just keeping yourself safe.
Yeah, one thing that I've seen it kind of progress in this area is more anchor points around a bin. So you're aware, and it's okay, so I've been known to climb bins without a harness early in my career because I didn't know any better. Now I won't do that. I will wear a harness. I will try to anchor off. Well, you have to anchor off at some point. And mm-hmm. the choices of where to anchor have not been as plentiful as they are now. Mm-hmm. There's been more focus on that. And there's some training that, that goes along with that, certainly. Work with grain bin manufacturers to know where those points are, certainly. You can install them. There's some information out on how to do that, on any bin.
Mm-hmm.
So... keep that in mind as well, certainly, and dust protection. I've gotten, over the years, I grew up on a farm, hauling tobacco, hauling hay. Dust used to bother me a little bit. I never knew enough to even wear a mask or a mm-hmm. respirator. But I about have to now because mm-hmm. I've gotten so sensitive to it.
Yep.
Yeah, beyond that, I used to work at a rock quarry. So again, without any PPE
right.
in my college days. So we just didn't, I was not aware. I thought I was tough enough, whatever, to handle it. But it hasn't been a big problem, thank goodness. But it has been, I've noticed a sensitivity. Mm-hmm. It seemed like especially the wheat dust. That
kills me. I can't hardly take it.
So I used to never be bothered by anything like it, but the older I get, the more sensitive to mm-hmm. dust I am. I think about even sawdust. I mean, even larger particles like that, things bother me more now than what they did at one time.
Yeah.
And I think asthma seems to be a big problem for several. Now, you hear about that more, and I know we've got one producer in Webster County that I know that really, he fights asthma. Of course, he knows he has that issue, and he takes the precautions that he needs to, but that's true. I hadn't thought about that as part of that safety plan, so to speak. I didn't think about that, so glad you brought that up.
Well, I think some of the things it's often overlooked, but I would recommend safety equipment for Christmas gifts.
Sure. One of the That's things right. that I think about, and it seems like every year when we hear about a suffocation issue, we hear about people being in grain bins unattended. They're there by themselves.
Right.
They're oftentimes making their rounds. And just having somebody there on hand when you are climbing in a bin would, I feel like, make a big, big difference. And I know people get stretched thin, and sometimes it's difficult to do, but it's almost always a situation where somebody's there by themselves and maybe not even noticed for a while. And You have to think if somebody else would have been there, there might have been something that could have been done.
Yeah. You would hope, certainly.
You would hope.
Yeah, so. You have to work safely, and it involves many different aspects of that. Inspecting grain safely, and then working around unloading and keeping it flowing.
You know, shifting storage thoughts just a little bit, and I know this is something you and I worked on years ago together on a project, but, you know, some years we have these years of plenty. We have a lot of grain, and oftentimes even folks who do have storage don't have enough storage. Mm-hmm. And we have to look at either using existing buildings, or I know you've worked some in designing some flat storage type mm-hmm. facilities. Talk to us a little bit about some of the work that's been done there and some of the experiences you've had.
Well, it's been interesting to see how that's progressed because, you know, when I started, you know, we didn't really have a lot of options, you know, other than conventional bins, maybe some flat storage. There was some flat storage around early 80s. Now we have silo bags. We have rings that that can be covered with plastic and aerated. That's the difference between them and a silo bag. When I say silo bag, you know, it's a grain bag. but you can't, I mean, those are, I think the grain bags offer a lot of flexibility when you have an abundant harvest and it's coming in like it did this year. It's dry. Mm-hmm. And you want to put it in a bag, dry and cool. And I've seen those used for, I guess, the extra bit of harvest that people may not expect. In some of those years, we have a good crop. But as you were talking about there, Jay, I know, of course, in 2012, I know a farmer that in central Kentucky that built a 100,000 bushel bin. He did not put a grain in it that day or that mm-hmm. that year mm-hmm. because yep. of the mm-hmm. the drought just took it. Not all the harvest away, but that he has since been able to use that fully.
Right.
And he's built more stories. So, you know, it ebbs and flows, and you never know what the harvest may bring. But just got to kind of plan for all contingencies. And I think some of the tools we have now in storage can be fully utilized, certainly with conventional bins, flat storage, warehouses, or you can convert machinery sheds. You know, you may probably have to reinforce the wall.
That's I was going to say,
is one thing that people that often overlook.
You said convert, and that's the big key. There is a lot. Most of our buildings, conventional farm shops, are not built and designed to hold that pressure from the inside that grain will put on the walls. So
yeah, I've seen some fairly creative knee braces put on to compensate for that. What's because they didn't initially account for it when mm-hmm. they started putting the grain in there.
One of the things that I think of right offhand, the actual structure was able to withstand it, but far before he got enough in there to do that, it was pushing directly against the metal and popping metal screws out. You know, out of the purlins.
So. Right, yeah. We have some plans, and again, back to the Midwest Plan Service, there are some plans in there to reinforce walls that are, you know, based on post spacing, the post size of the posts, and then what you need in between those posts. And I mean, it's fairly simple because you can just build it like a frame, wood frame section. 4 feet is about the maximum height. Economically, you can go a little higher than that. You know, people will call and say, well, I want to put 8 foot. It takes a concrete wall to really do mm-hmm. that right, or really heavy wood members and bracing to get that done well. So
that's twice you've mentioned the Midwest Plan Service. Is most of that information available online?
It is. Okay. There's for a fee. The Midwest Plan Service, they have some nice graphics in that publication, and putting that together was more expensive than the previous version, but that was in 87 when the previous version came out. Yeah. And they decided to really just make it a higher quality publication. I think the paper copy is around $74. There's a PDF version you can download for $56, I think. But it does have more information on safety. Like I say, whereas before it was just maybe half a page, it was a section and a chapter, and now it's a full chapter.
Yeah.
And it includes all we talked about and more, mm-hmm. Laying out the facility, operating and checking the grain, so everything, you know, from start to finish.
Well, it sounds like something we can include the link to in our show notes then and make it available
for
folks who will be able to listen.
I think. Now, the other thing, we're coming out with the new corn production handbook for Kentucky. I worked on the chapter there on harvesting, drying, and storage mm-hmm. for that as well.
Sounds good. We can put a link to both of those.
That one would be free.
you beat me to it.
Yeah. Sam, tell us where folks could find some of this information about grain storage and about safety and some different things, maybe on the Ag Engineering website. Is that the best place to find some of that information?
It would be if we had it up to speed. I'm afraid to say that it's under construction, some of the parts of it. You know, I've been working on that. To add things as they're coming around. Certainly, there's a collection of resources within our department, without cross departments for the production side, for sure. We did include a chapter, as I mentioned, on that. And also have, for similar publications that are on the website, for wheat, grain sorghum, soybeans, organic corn, canola.
Yeah.
You know, so, but most any crop that's going to be grown in Kentucky, I have a publication on there for that.
Yeah.
Sounds good. And I know you sent some of those to us on the front end to help get ready for this, and I appreciate that. We've made a lot of those available through producers through the years that have been interested. One of the biggest ways they've been, you mentioned the corn production guide, and same way with the wheat production book that UK's put out. Those have been really, really good information systems for a lot of agronomic information, but it's really opened a lot of people's eyes to both the economics and the physical engineering when it comes to grain storage as well. So,
well, I think if we could kind of just make that to the forefront of folks' minds, then that's a step in the right direction, because there is a lot to consider. And as we talked about at the beginning of the show, you know, there's a lot of energy and effort that goes into production. That doesn't always follow through post-harvest, but that's where we come in, and it's obviously another very important piece.
So, sounds good. Well, you know, one of the things we always include with this show when we get ready to wind it up is a timely tip. It's either pertinent to the topic or pertinent to the seasonal part of the year, and I think ours is kindly both this week. You gave us a good one, and that is, be sure and check your bins and look at your grain before you get ready to haul it so that you know what to expect. Nobody wants any real quality discounts, but more so than that, they don't want any surprises. They don't want to show up at the elevator with something that they think was, you know, top of the line and end up they're going to have some issues with it. So checking that out ahead of time, I think, can give folks a real eye-opener.
Hopefully that'll give them something to think about, and we certainly don't want to see them have to haul it home.
That's exactly right. Take the dock and go on with some of it. It's about the best you can do.
Exactly. And you know, you can always get with your county extension agent. And I don't know, there's folks that listen to other places, Sam, besides Kentucky, obviously, and we're grateful for that. But they can get with their county extension office and get this information probably as easily as getting it on the internet or anything else. So I would just ask folks if they'll just visit or put a shameless plug in for county extension.
That's
but
right.
For those county extension offices, go get that information, because that's available there for sure.
I think that's a good plug and something that would stand good for a lot of us. So, Sam, we appreciate you being here this week.
Thank you. It went awful fast.
Well, I tell you,
it does.
Everybody says that. It goes by before they really even think about it.
I hope that's the same on the audience end.
Well, it's part of this format. We're just sitting around having a conversation, and that's one of the things I think it makes it easier to talk about and hopefully easier to listen to as well.
Sure.
So we appreciate you being here and being our guest. We want to thank you and thank our host for this week's information, and thanks to our listeners for joining in. We hope you've enjoyed our show, and we'll make plans to join us again next week for our next episode. And until then, remember, Kentucky Ag matters.